Here tonight. Good to see each one of you. Thank the Lord for your pastor. Pastor Josh has been a very special friend to myself and my wife. It's good to have my wife with us, Donna Goodwin, Donna. We were in church together over Maranatha, two Miss Donnas, but thank the Lord for my wife. You know, we've been coming close to celebrating our anniversary here in September. We've been married 108 years. 54 for her and 54 for me. 54. I gave her engagement ring for high school graduation on June the 5th, and then September the 5th, 3 months later, we got married. And by God's grace, by God's abundant grace, we've made it this far. First 12 years of our marriage, we weren't saved. And that was a pretty rough time. But by God's grace, we got saved. And God changed our lives and gave us a new life and a new direction in life. And thank God for that. Again, I thank God for your pastor. You know, I pastored in Charlotte, North Carolina for 24 years after we got saved. And a few years later, I answered the call to preach and pastor, and went off to Bible college, and then I spent 24 years in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where our daughter is that my wife asked prayer for. We were there for 24 years, and in 2013, God led us to and led me to retire. And my wife also, she had to retire with me. Though when we retired, when I announced my retirement to the church, I told them, I said, it's not going to be hard for you to find a replacement for me. My wife was the financial secretary and my personal secretary all those years. And said, it won't be a problem for you to find a replacement for me, but it will be a problem for you to find a replacement for her. And sure enough, it was. My replacement was my assistant of 13 years. The church called him as a pastor, and he's been doing a good work there since. But my wife, they looked for several months before they finally found a young lady that could take her place. And I retired in June, and she retired in September. And we came back to Florida. We were originally from Hardy County, and I'd always wanted to come back. My wife never did want to come back. I think she married me so she could get out of Hardy County, but we left Florida in 73. I worked with Eckerd Drugs for nearly 20 years, and we left in 73 with Eckerd's, and then after answering the call to preach and pastoring those years, in those latter years, I had determined I wanted to move back to Florida. I wanted to come back where I could do some fishing and hunting and things like that. Enjoy the outdoors and that. But my wife wanted to stay in North Carolina. But we came back anyway in 2013, in Maranatha Baptist Church over there in Zoffo Springs, east of Zoffo, is the only independent Baptist church in Hardy County. And we knew that's where God wanted us. And that's where I met your pastor and his family, all the rest of the good ones and family members, and thankful for it. As a pastor for 24 years, I had no problem whenever we joined the church calling him pastor. He was my pastor. And I appreciate his life and testimony and ministry. And I can see the good work that God's doing here. And by the way, if you're glad he's here, you can thank me for it. And I say that because whenever Independent was looking for a pastor, Pastor Rooster resigned, and they were looking for a pastor, some of you may have been involved in it, probably were involved in it. Some of you men, the pulpit committee had contacted him, I believe, and he backed away from it at first. He didn't want to leave Maranatha. He was concerned of what would happen with Maranatha Baptist, I think somewhere later down the road, after some months passed, he said that he had been contacted, I think, again about the possibility of it, and he came to me and asked me what I thought, and I said, I think if the Lord's opened the door, you ought to go. He said, well, what about Maranatha? And I said, well, God will take care of Maranatha. If it's God's will for you to go to Independent, God will take care of Maranatha. And God has done that. God has done that. And I thank God for, again, for your pastor entrusting me with the pulpit here, and trust that I can be a blessing to you tonight. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. I'm going to read several passages, two or three to start off with here. But we'll start in the book of Acts, chapter 2. We've been talking tonight already in the prayer request and in the prayer time about pain, people that are suffering, difficulties and trials that people have, some physical, some emotional, some spiritual, sufferings and pain. The Bible has a lot to say about that. And I'd like to speak to you tonight on that thought of living in a world of pain. Living in a world of pain. Acts chapter 2, and if you would, if you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We stand together in reverence to the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, and read three verses in beginning verse 22. And we'll have prayer, and then I'll read some other verses beyond that as we get into the message. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22. The Bible says, "You men of Israel, hear these words." I should pause there to say and give the context. This is Peter's first sermon, the Apostle Peter's first sermon after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." The Bible says there in verse number 24 that the Lord suffered the pains of death. He suffered those pains of death for you and for me. As I said, the Bible speaks much about pain, and that pain and suffering began with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest sufferings, I should say, began with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of heaven, cross of and Calvary, and then when he left heaven. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to stand in this place and proclaim the Word of God. Help me, Lord, as it's already been prayed, to hide behind the cross, to hide behind you, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit speak through me. Lord, I pray, I yield myself to you. And I pray that each one here would be yielded to you and allow you to speak. Help us, Lord, tonight as we think about the sufferings that we face, things we've already faced or things that may be before us yet to come. Help us, Lord, to gain from those things the things that are most profitable in each of our hearts and each of our lives. And we'll thank you for what you do. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We could talk about the different ways that people suffer. They're great. Nothing as great as what the Lord himself suffered for us. And is leaving the glories of heaven and coming to this earth. Right there, I imagine, was suffering that we could not imagine. He left where everything was perfect, everything was right, everything was good, and came to a world filled with evil and filled with sufferings. We find in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, some other words about this matter of suffering. The Bible tells in Romans chapter 8, in verse number 18 and following, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And I say amen to that. the glory that shall be revealed in us. Heaven, what's coming. He goes on to say, for the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The Bible tells us there in verse number 22 that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. I think about the pains that we face. I mentioned, you know, we face physical pains. We've named, several of us have named different ones, different pains that we personally have maybe suffered, or that those loved ones that we have and individuals that we know have suffered the physical pains of sickness or of these sin-cursed bodies. Pain comes because of the curse of sin. We were created to live forever. The body was created to live forever originally in Adam, but because of the sin that took place, now we have the pains and sufferings that we suffer through in different ways. We suffer physically. We suffer emotionally. We have things come into our lives, situations and individuals come into our lives, and it brings emotional pain. We groan, as the scripture says here in Romans 8. We groan, in a sense, because of the sufferings emotionally. It may not be a physical thing, but yet there are things that we go through that brings that emotional sufferings. And there are also those that are spiritual things. Things because of someone turning away from God, or someone turning away from the Lord, or someone doing things that bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who maybe profess to know Christ as Savior, but yet they live in a way that brings shame to His name. There's sufferings and sufferings of all sorts. And so why the sufferings? I'd like to give you 3 points tonight concerning this matter of pain and living in a world of pain, whether it be the physical pains that we have or the emotional pains or the spiritual pains. Why do we have these things? First of all, I believe that pain should be a reminder to us of the frailty of life. Life is frail. And it should remind us when we face things, especially we think about the physical sufferings that we have, the sicknesses that we face, and those difficulties in different ways that come about us. It should remind us that life is frail. These bodies that we have are going to face difficulties, and we're going to face sufferings. We're going to face pain along the way in different ways. The Bible speaks of those Bible characters that face those things. You look, if you would, with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find here the Apostle Paul speaks of the sufferings that he went through. We think we suffered some things, physical sufferings. Listen to what happened with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He speaks here. He says in verse 23 and following, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. He's talking of himself and giving his testimony of things that he faced. The sufferings that he faced. He goes on to say, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He was beaten with a whip, a cat of nine tails. He says, 5 times. It goes on, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Did he leave anything out? I don't think there's any other place. Everywhere he went, he faced sufferings. Everywhere the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian to ever live, other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is Christ, and it was the Christ. The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived. Look at all the things he suffered. Frail. In the Bible, some of the things of the commentaries say he was a weak man. He was weak physically as far as that goes. And we'll speak more of that later here. But it says in weariness and in painfulness, verse number 27. In painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now there comes the emotional sufferings that he faced, and in that the spiritual things. So the Apostle Paul suffered. If Paul suffered, why shouldn't we suffer? But the frailty of life and the frailty of man. I think about the great preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Maybe you've heard that name, Charles Spurgeon, in Great Britain in the mid 1800s. Metropolitan Tabernacle, I think 5,000 people was always filled, and he'd tell church members stay away so visitors can come. Wouldn't that be a great thing to have to do? But Charles Spurgeon suffered physically. He suffered physically. The fact that he suffered emotionally. He had faced depression and difficulties. There were times whenever he would be out of the pulpit for weeks at a time and would have to go away to be able to restore his physical health, and then also to help him emotionally and spiritually. But he was a great man. God used him in a great way. I attended a school, Bible college, Tennessee Temple University. Some of you may have heard of that school. It's no longer in existence, but it was a great Bible college at the time, and the founder, Dr. Lee Robertson, was a great man, and I had the privilege of sitting under his ministry those years that I was there, and part of those times as pastor. Then he retired as pastor, or resigned as pastor. He never retired. He lived to be 96, and I think he preached almost every week until he was about 93 or 94 years old, and Dr. Robertson went through times in his life. There was a time where he lost his voice and couldn't speak for a year or so, that he had someone else, his assistant pastor, preaching for him or others preaching for him because he was suffering physically. And he said of those times that he suffered, he said, those were the times that I realized the frailty of my own body, but I realized the way that God would use that for his glory and for his good. And he did use it in his life. We were in Acts chapter 2 a moment ago, and in chapter 3 of the book of Acts. In chapter 3 of the book of Acts, we find this situation where there was a lame man. The Bible says that he was lame from his mother's womb in Acts chapter 3. And don't take time to read that whole passage there, but that man came to the point that he received healing whenever the Apostle Peter and John came along and seen this man and brought healing to him. He suffered there for a period of time before he found healing, and the frailty of his body was such. And on we could go. I recall a friend of mine in ministry. He was we were assistant pastors together in a church in Maryland before I took the pastor in Charlotte, North Carolina, Larry Stainer. Bodybuilder type guy. He's had big muscles and always of good health and hardworking person. And I say bodybuilders. I don't know he did it for that, but he worked to keep himself in good physical condition. And a young man in his 40s. On vacation from lived in Maryland, they came to Florida, he and his wife, and they were on a treadmill, a resort where they were staying, a condominium they were staying in, and they were on the treadmill and one morning, and his wife said she heard a thud, and he hit the floor. Just fell in the floor, and she went over to him. She thought first he was just playing, but he had a heart attack and died. Frailty of life. You think about that. You know, we're here today. Tomorrow, any one of us could be gone. Or any one of us could have a debilitating situation where a stroke or something that we were not able to, though we were living, we were not able to carry on as we would expect we would tomorrow. The frailty of life. What should we do in our frailty, in thinking of our frailty? Let me give you these three thoughts on that. First of all, we should live each day as though it's the last day that we'd live, knowing that we may not make it through another day. We should live each day as the last day. What would you do if it was the last day that you were living? If tomorrow morning, if you got up knowing that that was going to be your last day on this earth, what would you do? We ought to live that day, that way each day of our life. We ought to live that, as though it's the last day. Live a lifetime each day, you could say. We ought to learn to lean on God, number two. We live as though it's a lifetime in each day. We ought to learn to lean on God himself. We can't do it on our own. We can't do what we should do in that day of life that we have on our own. We need to yield to God. We need to learn to lean upon the Lord. We need to learn to lean on the Lord, and we need to learn and do his will. Are you doing the will of God? Am I doing the will of God for my life for this day? Will I do the will of God? Do I know what the will of God is for life tomorrow? Well, we do know some things. It is God's will that we bring glory to his name, that we do and say those things which would please him, and those things that would impact the life of others. That lady here was speaking of being a witness to a lost person. You're going to meet someone tomorrow probably that's lost. If you go out into the public and speak to people, you're going to meet somebody that's lost. Or you get to my age, and some of you are there with me, I believe. We've spent a lot of time in the doctor's office. I'm thankful I haven't really spent a lot of time myself in the doctor's office, but I've been with others. But we meet people in the doctor's office. Are they saved? Do we look at them and say, are you saved or lost? I mean, we wouldn't necessarily say that to them, but our thought should be, are you saved or are they saved or they lost? Do they know Christ? Do they know my Savior or not? We need to learn to do the will of God. It's God's will that we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we go, whatever we do. Family members, friends, people at the doctor's office, in the grocery store. I try not to go any place without a tract in my pocket. And I hand out tracts. I would say that I probably, not patting myself on the back by any means, but I probably hand out average five or six tracts a day if I'm outside of my house or outside of my property, my own property. And I give out that tract. I like the one. I think I got it here in my pocket. There's one. God's message for you. I say, God's got a message for you today. Would you take time to read it and give it to him? We need to do the will of God. What's God's will? God's will is we glorify him, that we tell others about Christ. If it wasn't for us telling others about Christ, there'd be no reason for us to be here. The frailty of life. We should understand in the frailty of life that we should live each day as if it's the last day of life for us. We should learn to lean on the Lord in that frailty of life. We should learn the will of God and do the will of God for our lives. Pain should remind us of the frailty of life. Secondly, pain should remind us of the brevity of life. It's remind us that life is brief. Turn to Psalm 90, if you would. Psalm 90. I remember reading this through the years and thinking about the timing mentioned in Psalm 90. In Psalm 90, we'll read the first few verses about... yes? yes, Lord? You talk. Psalm 90. a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, and ever thought hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years is just as though it was yesterday. Time flies. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. He says there in verse number 10, the days of our years are 70. How many of you can identify with that? You're already there. I'm there. I can remember, 50 years ago, I remember when we got married. I can remember much detail about the day that we got married, and other things that have come along the way. When our daughter was born, nearly 50 years ago, and on. But life is brief. Life is short. We have folks sitting here, young folks sitting here that are, you're just 9, 10 years old, 11, whatever. I don't know I lost track. Glade, how old are you?
Nine.
Okay, yes. I can remember when I was 9 years old. How many of you can remember that? It was like some things as though it was yesterday. So 9 years old, I got that finger caught in a swing and split it wide open, and I still carry the scar of it. I remember the day that I did that, and Mom and Dad were at our grocery store at work, and my sister was there, and none of us could drive. And, of course, I couldn't drive, 9 years old, but she couldn't drive either. So we had to call for Mom to come home to take him to the doctor. But I remember so many things because life is short. 70 will be here and gone before you know it, if you aren't already there. Or if you got 80, get to the 80-year year mark, it's brief. So, it's brief. So what do we do about it? 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible tells us, get over there, 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse number 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffered for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. If we're following the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to suffer. And we're going to suffer in this life, but this life is brief. The time is short for suffering for the Lord. The time is short for suffering for the Lord. Understand that when we're suffering, if we're doing it for righteousness' sake, if we're doing it because we're taking a stand for God, or if we're living as we ought to be living, we have the physical suffering. Why do we go through this? It's to draw us closer to the Lord. It's to bring us closer to the Lord. We're to trust Him more. We sometimes question, well, why does someone who's serving God and living for the Lord, and everything seems to be right in their life, but yet here it's announced they've gotten cancer, or they've got another debilitating disease or sickness that's come their way. And we say, why? Well, maybe it's because their testimony is, it's that their testimony in that suffering is going to make an effect on someone else for God. The time is short for suffering for the Lord. The time is short for service for the Lord. Life is brief. We talk about serving God and say, well, when I get to a certain point in my life, or when I get certain things done in my life, then will I serve God. Then will I do that particular ministry. Maybe the pastor's asked you to serve in a particular way, or he's calling for help in ministry in some way, and you say, well, I don't have time now. I need to get this done, or I need to take care of that, and then I'll serve. No, time is short. We just serve God with the time that we have. We put God first. We put His ministry first in our life. Then God will put things in order. I recall years ago when I had a young man in my church in Charlotte that worked for the Cracker Barrel restaurant chain, and this young man had gone to Bible college and had a good background as far as serving God, being able to serve God. And I talked to him about serving in a different place of ministry. And he said, well, Pastor, I just don't have time. He was a management person. And he said, I just don't have time right now. But, you know, I'm going to try to get my schedule worked out where I can do those things that I know that I need to do. And I said to him, I said, if you'll commit to God to serve Him in the places that you you know that God has gifted you to serve, God will work out your schedule. You don't need to try to work out your schedule and then serve God. I said, commit to serving God and commit to doing those things, and God will know that what your need is, and He'll provide that need. He'll provide the people so that you can be off at the times you need to be. And sure enough, he said, okay, I'm going to do it. He prayed about it, and then he came back and said, I'll do it. And he did, and sure enough, God did work it out. He led our children's ministries on Wednesday night for a number of years before he was transferred to another area. Time is short for service to the Lord. Time is short for salvation. The prayer at the beginning of the service was, if there's one here that doesn't know Christ their Savior, may tonight be the night. The Bible says, behold, now is the time. Today is the day. If you don't know Christ your Savior, if there's a struggle in your life, you struggle with the assurance of your salvation, you need to get that settled now. Because you don't know that you'll have another day. You don't know that you'll have another opportunity. I had Rufus Combs was a head usher in our church in Charlotte, North Carolina, when I went to the church in 1989, and he had been faithful in church in another church for some 20 years, and then he had come to the church that I was pastoring there. He had been there a few years before I got there, and he came to me about 2 years after I was there. He came to me one Wednesday night before the service. He came to my wife and said, I need to talk to the pastor. And she said, well, he's in his study getting ready for the service. You know, can it wait? No, I need to talk to him now. And so she came, knocked on the door, and told me they wanted to speak with me. So I said, bring him in. And he came in. And when he came in, he said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. He said, I got saved today. I said, you got saved today? And he said, yes, sir. He said, for 2 years, at least 2 years, in the time you've been here, every service I left this place under conviction that I wasn't sure that I was saved. He said, I've served God in many different capacities for 25 years. He said, but I've never had the assurance and knew for sure, without a doubt, that I was saved. And he said, I knelt beside my bed this morning after I read the scriptures, and God brought it to my heart again. He said, I repented of my sin of rejecting Christ and trusting Him as my Savior today, and I want to get baptized. We got baptized him on an April night, Wednesday evening, whenever our baptistry hadn't been, the water was in the baptistry, but it wasn't heated, and it was pretty chilly. He followed the Lord in believer's baptism, went on to serve the Lord for a number of years before he went to be with the Lord. Our time for salvation is short. You may think you have time if you're here tonight without Christ. I would think that would probably speak to those who are saved tonight. But if you're here without Christ, or you're here with any doubt about your salvation, you need to know that today is the day of salvation. You need to settle that question. Life is brief. This is a reminder. Pain and suffering is a reminder that of the brevity of life. The third and last, final thought I give to you: pain is a reminder of the weakness of man and the strength of Christ. It's a reminder of the weakness of man and the strength of Christ. If you still have your Bibles open there, turn to 2 Corinthians again in chapter 12. After Paul listed, the Apostle Paul listed in chapter 11 of all the sufferings that he went through in his life and the ministry for the Lord, he tells us of that passage, which most of us are probably familiar with. He tells us in chapter 12, in beginning of verse number 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, though through the abundance of the revelations." That is, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and the revelations that God gave him, the abundance of the revelation. He said, I could get boastful about that. I could be boastful about the things God has done for me. He goes on to say, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." It was a suffering, pain that Paul was going through. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." How many times have you prayed for that suffering that you may be going through? Or that some loved one that you have, some friend that you have, how many times have you prayed for it? The Apostle Paul said he prayed 3 times. Well, it wasn't just 3 short prayers, I don't believe. I believe it was seasons of prayer, maybe years of prayer as far as that goes. He said, "I prayed, thrice have I prayed, that it might depart from me." But then he says, and he, that is the Lord, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," the Apostle Paul said, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Pain and suffering that we go through, whether it be physical pain, whether it be emotional sufferings, or whether some spiritual thing that's bringing us pain, in a sense, be our case, it should remind us of our weakness and of His strength. Of our weakness and of the Lord Jesus Christ's strength. In Hebrews chapter 13, I love these verses, in verses 5 and 6. When I think about the times that we suffer and go through trials and situations in our lives, when the Bible promises us here in Hebrews 13, it said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Not only does He say that He'll not leave you nor forsake you in that trial, in that tribulation, in that suffering that you're going through, He says not only that, but He says in verse number 6, "so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I'll not fear what might come upon me, because God is my helper. I'm weak, but He's strong. I go through trials and tribulations and sometimes feel like fainting, feel like giving up. But God says, "I'm there with you. I'll help you. Keep moving forward. Keep going on for God. Keep serving the Lord." There'll come that day that is promised in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4, where the Bible tells us over there in that final day when we meet the Lord and we're in with Him forevermore. He said in Revelation 21 and verse number 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." The Lord's coming back. He's coming back to receive His own to Himself. And the day will come when we're there in heaven. Now, I believe there's tears in heaven now. But the day's coming where there'll be no more tears. There's tears in heaven over the lost souls that are on this earth, or over the ones that are not living for God as they should, and that. But the day will come when they're all tears. This is in that final time when the new heaven and the new earth is formed. And the Bible tells us then God will wipe away all the tears. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more death or sorrows or pain, no more pains to suffer in this world. God will wipe away the tears and He'll take away the pain. And we owe all of it to God for what He's going to do. You're suffering tonight. You know someone that's going through a trial and difficulties in life that brings pain. Maybe that emotional pain is not one of physical, but yet it may be physical you're facing. We think about those things, and many, many have gone through the pains and the sufferings and come out stronger. Those that learn the will of God and will do the will of God, that's the way you're going to come out. Those who learn to lean on the Lord, those who understand that the frailty of life, we can't do it, but God can. Those who learn the brevity of life, that now is the time, today is the day to do what you're going to do for God. Do it today. Do it now while you have opportunity, while you have breath, while you can speak, while you can do the physical things you need to do. Eventually, pain or suffering is going to, if the Lord doesn't come back first, pain or suffering is going to come to every one of us. Most of us have faced it already. And some may be greater, much greater than others. But if we live long enough, we're going to face it. What will we do with it? We'll use it to remind us we're frail. Life is frail. Life is brief. We are weak. But God Himself is our strength. God Himself is the one that will bring us through these things. God Himself is the one that will use us. The Spirit of God residing in us, those of us who know the Lord as our Savior, will give us that which we need to go through that to bring glory to His name. Living in a world of pain, what will you do with it? Let's bow together in prayer. We're going to have a word of prayer together. And then I'm going to ask our pianist just to play softly for a verse or two of a song. And maybe it's a time that you would want to pray. You say, "Brother, I face some sufferings. I'm facing some trials right now. There's some pain in my life. I need prayer. God's spoken to me about it. The brevity of life. The frailty of life. The weakness that I have. And I remember the strength that He has. Say, God's spoken to me. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? God's spoken to you tonight about this. Yes. Amen. Someone else, you say, God's spoken to me. Maybe whenever we pray together, we'll stand and pray, and then with a verse of two of an invitation, no singing, we'll just ask you if you have a burden upon your heart, put it on the altar tonight. Come here and turn it over to the Lord. Let's stand together and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the promises. We sang that song earlier this evening, standing on the promises. We cannot fall. We will not fail, standing on the promises of God. Lord, I pray that we tonight, as we think about this world that we live in, the trials, the tribulations, the sufferings that we face, the pains that we have, Lord, help us to remember, yes, life is frail. We are frail. Help us to live each day as though it's the last day we have to live. Life is brief. Help us to do the things that we're going to need to do. The time is short to serve You. The time is short for those who are lost to receive Christ, their Savior. May we be faithful to share the witness that we are to be. Lord, help us to remember in our weakness we can find strength in You. Your grace is sufficient. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. With our heads still bowed as we begin to play a